for coming out today on the Dayah. I know it's a tremendous Kiddush Hashem that people come together when there's so much they could do, despite the fact that all the stores are closed. And yet they spend the time learning together, and it's a tremendous Kiddush Hashem. And I'm sure, and I know, there'll be a tremendous chus for Harav HaGoyin Rav Gedalyo Ben Rav Tzvi. And I appreciate the fact that I'm able to be a part of this. HIT, the Halakha Institute of Toronto, is an organization that promotes and enhances halakhic awareness throughout the community on many different levels. The Halakhic Institute serves as a resource for Rabbanim when organizational support is necessary. For instance, overlooking a Eruvin, reviewing businesses, writing contracts, specialized contracts, specialized halakhic documents. On a community level, they are involved in mediation when necessary. Again, writing and drafting different halakhic documents when necessary, and going and reviewing businesses to ensure that they conform and they work within the framework of halakha. And on a personal level as well, there's a halakha hotline where people could call in with shaylas, could email in with shaylas, and the response they get from the various rabbanim of the Halakha Institute. If someone has kelim that they bought, a Keurig machine, different machines that require tefillah, people are concerned about titling the kelim, maybe they'll get destroyed. So they work with that. The Halakha Institute enables people to use the kelim in a way that conforms to halakha by selling it to non-Jews when necessary, or figuring out a way to ensure that there is not a problem of not being titled the kelim. And along with the many other services, I'd be happy to talk to someone afterwards, along with the many other services that the Halakha Institute provides, it enables a person to go through his day, go through his life, confidently in a way that's consistent with halakha. I know no one came here to hear me speak, so therefore, without further ado, we have a tremendous close to have Rabbi Tolda, the Rav, give us here.
Shus HaRabbonim, Kol HaKol HaKodesh HaZeh. As Rabbi Rothbard just mentioned, the Shir of the Sefer Nishmas, my father is a friend of the Rav, Rav HaGoyin Rav Gedalyo Ben Rav Tzvi, who was zeicher to be marbit Torah through his shiurim, svarim, and many avenues for many, many years. His life was filled with chiyus, and even in the last 8 years, when he was very limited due to the debilitating stroke, nonetheless, his fight for chiyus in life, in Torah, in Shem Shabbos, and in the lives of people, continued as strong as ever. May the shir be an aliyah for his neshama. Before we begin this topic, I'd like to make a hakdama. This topic is very complex. It's very difficult and extremely negeil lemaisa midayoyim biyoyimoy. Hachayim v'amoves biyad aloshim. Deciding on these issues is a decision literally of life and death. And therefore, we have to have a lot of siyata dishmaya. In this brief amount of time, we can't possibly discuss all the scenarios and deal with all the background and makairis, but as Chazal say, she'elas chacham chatzi tshuva. If we know what to ask, how to ask it, what's a shaila, that goes a long way in gaining the right approach and the right attitude towards life and finding the siyata dishmaya to the halacha brura. May we be zeicher to that siyata dishmaya to not to be nichshol in shum devar halacha ubefrat in these devarim chamurim. Generally, if I own a chayfetz, I'm the balabas, so I'll make the decisions on that chayfetz. Doctors are of the opinion that we are the owners of our physical being, of our life. And therefore, often, when an elderly person comes with a serious problem to a hospital, the first question that's posed to the family is, should we institute a DNR, do not resuscitate order, which we'll talk about later on. On the halacha of the Rambam, where the Rambam says, Gzeiras HaKosavi, Misa B'dei Shemayim, Malkus in Bezdin, Misa B'dei Bezdin, and Malkus in Bezdin, will not be given by Bezdin by Doas Piv, only through Adam. Only if Adam testified, not if a person says, I ate Chazer, Chalila. Zokter Advaz, why? L'pishay Napshay Shel Odom Kinyonoy Ela Kinyon HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm not the balabos over me, over my life, over my nefesh. It's a kinyan of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And likewise, the Poskim, Shulchan Aruch Rav, or Moshe writes about it in Tshuva, we are not the bailim over our guf to decide. It's the Torah, the Halacha, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam guides us and directs us. We often hear the phrase quality of life, and that dictates for many people decisions. What's called quality of life? Our view of quality of life is very different than the view that's out there in the world at large. In Mincha Shleima, Agoyin Rav Shleima Zalman Erbach Zecher Tzadik Livracha writes, he's on the last page of the handout, in the paragraph that begins Hein Omnom, he writes in the middle of the paragraph, we don't have the Knei Mida, the measuring stick, how to value the chashivas, the preciousness of life, even afilu loy b'tayru mitzvahs. Even if a person is nebuch, elderly, he's ill, a mukeshchin, a cheresh shoyte gomer, and he can't fulfill any mitzvahs, and his life is a burden on his family, and it causes a bittul Torah and mitzvahs. On top of all the tzar, concludes Reb Shlomo Zalman in the paragraph, Afilo hachi mitzvah begedoyle Yisrael, lishtadol velasek batzalosai, ulechalot olav asashabim. It's a mitzvah even to be Mechal Shabbos to save this person and lengthen their life. That gives us a little bit of a picture, an insight into the Chashivas HaChaim, our view of quality of life. Of course, we all daven every day, numerous times, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us health and we should be able to have the quality of life that we desire. Nonetheless, life is chashuv. Ma yis'ayin in Adam chai. Life alone is precious. The Rambam writes, in Hilchas Saita, Halacha Chof, Saita that has the schus of Talmud Torah, the Rambam, where it says Noshim Hilchas Saita on the top of the page. Saita sheyesh lo zchus Talmud Torah. Af al pi shein a mitzvah al Talmud Torah. Even though a woman is not chayiv in Talmud Torah, nonetheless she has the zchus of Torah. What does that do for her? Hareza toila lo, even though she was a Saita. Yet, it lengthens her life. She doesn't die on the spot. Ein a mesa l'shaka. El nimukas v'lechet v'chaloyim kvedim bo anelel. She slowly deteriorates, even though difficult illnesses come upon her, until she'll die after a year, 2 years, 3 years, depending on her schus. The greater the schus, the longer she lives. She's suffering, nebuch, it's terrible. The yisurim are yisurim neiroim. Nonetheless, it's better than dying immediately. That's the quality of life. That's how precious life is. Even though nebuch, she is suffering, nonetheless, the schus is that her life is lengthened. Even that alone is a schus. Of course, it's our obligation to help to be memayit somebody's yisurim. Whether it's doctors or lay people, visit Bikur Chaylim, taking care of somebody's needs is greatly beneficial. And It helps to be memayit yisurim, and the more we can do to limit the pain for of a person, the greater the mitzvah. Nonetheless, we see the hashkafas ha-teirah of the value of life. How chaviv every moment of life is to a person. Somebody came to me recently with a problem. His wife is expecting, and Nebuch the child has a problem with chromosome 13 or 18, they're not sure exactly which one it is, but all the Evarim, the inner Evarim, major organs of the body are affected, as the doctor sees through the tests that were done. So the doctor says when the child will be born, if it's born alive, then the doctor says, do you want to feed the child? The doctor suggests, why bother? This child is not going to live a normal life, whether it'll live weeks, months, maybe a year, maybe longer. It's unknown. But if he's only going to live a matter of weeks or months, why bother? Don't even feed the child and let the child expire. In the last page of this booklet, you find in Eirach Chaim Siman Shin Chof Tes, Sif Dalet, the Mechaber says, even if you find the person Merutzas Nebuch She'ena Yochel Lichlis El Lefisho, so badly harmed that he can only live Lefisho, a short amount of time, yet Mefakchen Uboitkim Achoitmai, we can be Mechal Shabbos for him. The Bir Alocha in Dibur HaMatzil El, about halfway down the page on the left side, says even though the Klal of Chalal Olav Shabbos Achas Dei Sheishma Shabbos is Harbi doesn't apply here, be Mechal one Shabbos so that he will be able to be Mekayim many Shabbos doesn't apply, because he won't be able to be Mekayim many Shabbos, he's not going to live even to the next Shabbos, because it's Lav Dafka Shabbos. And who are then other mitzvahs? And he quotes a Meiri, and the Meiri concludes that even if he lives a short while, he'll be able to do tshuva, Yoshu Beliba V'yizvada. And then the Bir Allah of the Chofetz Chaim continues. Be'emet says only L'taima Ba'alma, but L'dina Halacha L'maisa, it doesn't matter, even if he can't learn Zayra, and he won't be able to do any mitzvahs. And it won't matter. Yet, that's not the reason why we try to save this person, and even Ramachal Shabbos. The Chinan Kol HaMitzvahs B'Shul Chaim Shel Yisrael. We push it off only for the life of Eid. It doesn't matter, even if he can't do mitzvahs. The fact that he's alive, the fact that he continues the Chaim Chiyusai, that is precious enough. So that means this child is going to be born, even if he only lives a number of weeks. Only a number of weeks, that alone is sufficient to give him chiyus. We'll talk about the details as we move along. But we see the maila of life, even for someone who won't live to be Mekayim Mitzvahs. There's a fascinating Rashi in Maseches Sota. The Gemara over there talks about what we learned in last week's Parsha. Parei was Goyzer al Aschorim, to throw them all into the Yam. Amram, the Godel Adoyer, separated from his wife. If she'll have a boy, he'll be killed. And Klal Yisrael followed the Godel. Miriam came to her father and said, Zeroth Tokoshel Mishal Parei. Your Zer is worse than Parei's. Parei was only Goyzer al Aschorim, and you don't allow even girls to be born. After Gazarta Aschorim Bal Anakavis. Parei le Gozer Ela Bo'olam Azeh. Fascinating Gemara. Parei was only Goyzer in this world. And your Gzeira is in both worlds. Why? Sokter Ashi. Ela Bo'olam Azeh. The children are born and they die. V'choyzrim v'chayin hein lo'olam haba. But then they'll come alive again in Olam Haba. Ata, your Gzeira is in Olam Azeh and Olam Haba. Kivan she'enam noilodim. since they're not born, einan boim lo olam haba. That means there's a tachlis for the child to be born. Why? Because if he's born, he'll be zeichet to olam haba. Coming into the world allows the child to be zeichet to olam haba. When a child, even a child that's stillborn or chalila or dies after birth, before having the chance to give the child a name, at the kever we give the child a name. The child should have a name, lo olam haba. So therefore, in such a case, of course, we would feed the child and give the child chiyus. In order to understand this topic, we have to divide chayla into two categories. A chayla that's only chayisha versus a chayla that has potential for chayoyla. Of course, nobody lives forever. Chayoyla means natural length of life, that the person is going to live out their years. Chayisha means very temporary. What is called very temporary is a chayla. Chaim Oizer writes in a tshuva, up to 6 months is called chayisha. Or Moshe Feinstein, Igros Moshe, says that even up to a year could be considered chayisha. More than a year is chayoyla. Even if the person never is very sick, if they can live a year, medically speaking, then that would be called chayi oilam. Less than that could be considered chayi shah. Till 6 months, seems clear that it's considered chayi shah. That is a very important point that we'll use in the decisions that we'll discuss as we move along. Less than 6 months is chayi shah. Less than 6 months is chayi shah. More than a year is chayi oilam. Between 6 months and a year is not 100% clear, but Rav Moshe writes up to a year is called chayi shah, and we'll see the ramifications in that. We'll come back to that in a moment. When a person is at the end of life, sometimes they go into a state called goises. It's difficult to be magdir exactly when the matzav of goises sets in. When is a person categorized as a goises? We saw in Shulchan Aruch, in this pamphlet, in Simen, there was a mistake, it was a double page, but in Simen Shin Lamed Tes, the Shulchan Aruch talks about a goises. In Siv Beis, which is not in the pamphlet, it's in some of these pages, but the Machaber says, a goises can't last more than 3 days. So if it's a prolonged time, the person can't be considered a goises. The problem is, you only find that out after 3 days. How do you know retroactive? So, what is a goises? People that hang around emergency rooms will be able to testify that often there's a shinui in the breathing of a person. There's a certain heaviness to the breathing of a goises. And I've seen it numerous times. That could enter the person into the category of goises. Often the nurses will be able to help, because they see this all the time, even more than the doctors, as to when the person would be considered a goises. The Mechaber in Shulchan Aruch says, in that simon, in Sif Aleph, in the middle, Ein ma'amtsin einov ad she'tetzein nafshei. Taken from a Mishnah. One cannot close the eyes of a goises. Why? Because any movement could be mekarev misosei. Life is so precious that even if we are mekarev the misa, we bring about that misa, even moments prior to it's supposed to happen, to the designated time in Hashemayim, that is areza shayfer domin. Now, it's not clear that if he closes the eyes, it'll cause that, but it's a possibility. And therefore, ein ma'amtsin einov ashetetzein nafshei. Until after a person dies, we don't close the eyes. After a person dies, we close the eyes of the mace, but not until it's vadai that he's left the world. Kol ha'ma'amtsin metiyas ha'nefesh ha'machaber areiz ha'shoifer domen. It's the b'chin of shvichas domen. Therefore, the shaila comes up, if a person Chalila is in that state of goises, then you can't move the person. Can't even close their eyes. So you can't move. Often people like to hold a person's hand, or I'm not talking about when things are needed medically. Or the Kibbeh says, Chalil, if there's a fire, one is allowed to take the mace out of the room, even though there are geises, to be able to save the person from the fire, even though the person's life is coming to an end momentarily. However, just to hold the person's hand, which doesn't help them medically, it's not a medical issue, that cannot be done for a geises. The shaila is, can one touch the mace? In other words, not moving, because that's like ma'am in ma'am sin enov, touch the mace. So, even though, by geises, sorry, thank you, by a geises. So, mi'ikir adin, it's only a problem moving the mace. Touching the mace, if you don't move the mace, obviously if you do it hard, you can move the person. But gently would not be considered osir. It's preferable to avoid that too sometimes, but that depends on the matzav and the family. But mi'ikir adin, touching the mace without moving the mace, would not be bechalal ma'amtsin einav achetetsin nafshay, would not be bechalal this din of shofet domim. As we see from Rabbi Kivager, that a person who's a geisus and there's a fire, you can remove them. So likewise, as we said, the nurses would be able to do whatever test necessary. But sometimes they do things routine. They come in the morning, they take temperature, blood pressure. There would be no need to do that for a geisus, and that would be bechal, this halacha of ein ma'amtsin ein avachetetsin afsha. There's no reason medically to do that at this point. You're not going to do anything. They just do it as a matter of routine once it stops them. But if they need something to help the mace, that, of course, is for the benefit of the mace. For the geises, I'm sorry. Of the geises. They write geises in Lamisa, but the phrase is not dead yet. So. Unless you could do something for the person, right? Roiv geisim lamisa, not all. So I have to save the person. So it depends. That's a medical decision, right? If it's just routine, there's no reason to do it. If there's a strong medical need, then you might save the person. That's only with geisim, yeah. Prior to that, the body can do it. Yeah, it's only b'shas b'sisa. Okay. The Ramah, in this halacha, in Shin Lamates, writes the following. Im yesh dover shegoyrim ikub yetzias anefesh. If something is holding back the death of the person, for example, there's a kol that's banging, like somebody chopping wood, or there's salt on the person's tongue, and that being goyrim, the ikub yetzias anefesh, ma'akvin yetzias anefesh, muter lasire mishon. Even though the person is going to die after they take away the salt or stop the banging, the person will die. Ein bazeh ma'isa klal, el shem meisir hamineya. All the person is doing is removing the obstacle for the yetzias hanefesh. That's mutter. So what do we see? As the poskim and the Igros Moshe write, you see there's a major difference between lengthening a person's life and being meineya the yetzias haneshama. Lengthen a person's life, that's our chiyuv. However, we're talking about someone who's a geisus and the person's about to die, but there's something standing in the way. There's being ma'akad the yetzias haneshama. There's banging, there's melach on his tongue, and he can't die. And as soon as that stops, he'll die. It's mutter to stop it. I'm going to come to it, right? And from this we learn numerous halachas will come to it. Even though we cannot be makar of a person's misa, to hasten death is osur. That's shvi'at hazdamim. Can't close the eyes of the geises. Yeah, and you have to do everything you can to be makar of the life of a person within reason, which we'll come to. Rav Moshe writes, when there's tsar, when a person is in tsar, and often, or most often, almost always, Ramesh assumes that a goyis is in tsar. And therefore, we're only dealing, number one, with chai isho. Not chai oil here, it's a goyis. Only chai isho. And there's tsar. In that case, you're not mechuyiv to continue what's blocking the yetzias hanefesh. For chai isho. If it would be a potential chai oilam, for example, if you keep the banging going, there's a top doctor that's going to come, an expert in the field, and he might be able to save his life. Of course you keep the banging going, because he might save his life and make it chai oilam. But we're not dealing with that. We're only dealing with chai isho. And the tsar, not mechuyev, to lengthen the person's life, to put them through more suffering in order to lengthen their life for that chai isho. For that short amount of time. Now we're talking about chai isho, a really small amount of time. Days. If a person's going to live for a longer month, that could be a different question. But here we're dealing with this kind of person who's going to live for another few hours, maybe another couple of days, and there's Yisurin. The Gemara says, in Avodah Zarah, in the story of Rabbi Chanina ben Tradyan, which is not just an inspiring maisa, we learn many halachas from this story. The Gemara says that they wrapped him in a sefer Torah, and they put svugin shel tzemer, they soaked sponges of wool, pieces of wool, in water, and put them on his heart, that he should die slowly, kadesh shel leitetzin yishmos emeir. So the Gemara says that Omalei Kaltzitaniri, the officer that was taking care of the death of Rabbi Chanina ben Tradyan, says, first the daughter said to Rabbi Chanina ben Tradyan, why did you open your mouth? Psach picha, and the fire will go, so it'll happen faster. And Rabbi Chanina ben Tradyan refused. No, mutav sheyitlena mishanofna val yachabel hu ba'atzmai. No, let the Rabbi Nizlan take care of it. He's not opening his mouth. Why? Because if he opens his mouth, he felt, that's going to be makar of his misa. And he's doing a misa to be makar of his misa. That he can't do. It's not just being meneya, the yitzias haneshama. He felt that's bringing closer. Obviously, his daughter felt differently, and therefore she requested it. He said no. That's also. The Kaltzin Taniri, the officer, said, if I raise the shalhevet and make the fire bigger, and I take away the svugin shel tzemer from on your heart, will you bring me to chai olam haba? And he said, yes, swear, yes, he swore, made a shmua. And that's what happened, and yosan ismosu b'meheira, and the Chaltza Taniri jumped into the fire, and Abasko came out and said, both Rabbi Chanina ben Tradyan and the officer are mezumonin hein l'chai olam haba. What do we see from this Gemara? Number one, you can't be mekar of the Misa. So Rabbi Chanina ben Tradyan wouldn't open his mouth, because he's mekar of the Misa. At the same time, we also see that you don't have to be marah. You don't have to lengthen the life. Why? How do we see that? Because he allowed, first of all, the goy, which we'll talk about in a minute, how that was able to be mutter, to remove the svugin shel tzemer, and they didn't bring more svugin shel tzemer. If you bring more, he'll live longer. Obviously not mechuyev that he should bring more tzar upon himself, to be makar of the Misa, not. But to lengthen the Misa beyond, also not mechuyev.
And the officer was rewarded, right?
And their officer was rewarded, and he was given chai olam haba. The kasha is, how is it possible that the Kaltza Taniri was also mechuyev in killing, the Sikha is also even for a ben noyach, how was he able to do it? If Rabbi Chanina ben Tradyan couldn't take it off, or nobody else could take it off, how was he able to take it off? Once it's there, you don't have to put it on. But once it's there, isn't he muzer al ritzicha? So the Rosh HaKoyl, who's coming in a few minutes, Shlaima Miller Shlita, said, Rabbi Moshe Feinstein deals with this question as well in Igros Moshe, and it's a different shot, and he said an interesting shot. He said, who kindled the fire? Who's killing this Rabbi Chanina ben Tradyan? The Kaltza Taniri, this officer. He lit the fire. He put the wood there. He burned Rabbi Chanina ben Tradyan. So he's mechuyev misa for what he did anyway. So So therefore, what is he doing? He's being makariv the misa? What do you mean being makariv the misa? He killed him anyway. It's chayiv misa. He can't be chayiv twice misa for killing the same person. So what's the issue of being makariv the misa? Somebody else does it. They're makariv the misa. They caused him to die earlier. But he can't be chayiv twice for the same person. The mele for him, there was nothing wrong. He was killing him anyway. So there's nothing wrong with being makariv the misa for him. What? No, it's the same aveir. It's only one aveir killing him. You can't kill him twice. Okay, I'll go upon him. That's not halacha. That's just, I mean, it's good halacha, but it's not the negel ma'isa. So we're going to move on. We can talk about it later. I'll go upon him. It's an interesting point. So let's get to some, with this background, to some situations that are very common. We've made a distinction between chay yeshua and chay olam. Sometimes it's difficult to know. There was a woman in the hospital, and she was very ill, and she had a mask that pumped oxygen into her because she was having terrible trouble breathing. But that kind of mask can't stay on for a long time. It was on for a week, for 2 weeks, and it can't stay on for very long. It creates bruises, and it's not a long-term solution. The long-term solution would be a ventilator. The doctors didn't want to put a ventilator. She was in her 90s, and they thought, this is only chai yeshua, this is not going to last. So they can't keep on the mask, and they don't want to put on a ventilator, and ad kan, they were trying to convince the family to let her die. There was nothing that was dictating. It's not like she had nebuch in a machla or something that was causing all organs to shut down. That was not the case. She was having trouble breathing, her heart, and it could have turned around. With Siyata Rishamaya and Tfilah, it could have turned around. So he spoke to the doctor and advised the family what to do. Lamaita, the doctor relented and they kept her going. 3 weeks later, this woman walked out of the hospital and the doctors were shocked. She walked out and she lived for another year, 2 years, and then she passed away a couple of years ago. So what sometimes seems like chai yeshua is lav dafka chai yeshua. So it's a difficult decision. Now, if we're dealing with chai yeshua, nebuch, somebody has yana machla, and it's the end stages, and life is clearly coming to an end, the major organs are shutting down, then there's a distinction between what we call heroic treatment and non-heroic treatment. Heroic treatment, a person's not mechuyev to do, for chai yeshua, b'mokam tzar, as we said before. Just like we were talking earlier by Egoises. Not mechuyev to lengthen the person's life that the person should suffer more when all we're dealing with is chai yeshua, they'll live for another few hours, another few days, another week, and they're in tzar. Normal things, non-heroic, we're mechuyev. What's called non-heroic? Non-heroic is liquid. And sometimes they don't want to give liquid. Food, which we'll talk about soon. Oxygen, blood, antibiotics. That has to be administered. However, heroic treatments, such as a ventilator, resuscitation, if there's cardiac arrest, dialysis, those kinds of things, one is not mechuyev to administer for chai yeshua when there's tzar. If there wouldn't be tzar, it would be a different question, but that usually there is tzar, and one is not mechuyev to do heroic in this situation. The non-heroic, we are. And the chiddush is that even if the non-heroic has to be administered in an abnormal fashion, even if it has to be administered in a non-heroic fashion, in a somewhat of a heroic fashion, then it still could be a chiyuv, such as a pet cure. If a person can't eat, and often there's swallowing by older people that have dementia, this is a common problem, that they have trouble swallowing, and they can aspirate, and that creates pneumonia, sakonis nefoshes. But there's an etzer, an NG tube, which is a tube that's fed, that's goes through the nose, and through there they feed the patient, or a peg, which is through the abdominal wall that goes right into the stomach. That's an abnormal way of eating. Nonetheless, a person will get nourishment. Nobody can live without nourishment. A common problem is the patient comes to the hospital, nebuch, very sick, and they're not mom's dying. in the next few days, but they're in Nebuch Achoyla Mesukan, and the prognosis doesn't look good, and the person's old. The first thing the doctors say when they have these meetings is they tell you what the age of the patient is. To us, the fact that a person is 90 doesn't mean they don't have a right to live, just like a younger person. So they'll ask how old, and they go through the history of the illness, and then they try to convince the people to stop feeding. The person can't eat because they'll aspirate, so the only H is a tube, and the tube through the nose, aside from being very uncomfortable, can't last for a long time. It's only a temporary solution, a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, can't last for a long time. They have to have a peg for that, and they don't like to do that because they don't see a long-term solution for this patient, and they want to move on to the next patient. That food is a serious issue, because without liquid, a person can't last very long. Even without food, they can last, depending on the size of the person, a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. They can't last for a long time. And often, even if the person will last for 6 weeks, if you don't give them food, they'll die after 3 weeks, which is a mikarav misalsai, and that's not called heroic. Aside from that, never the poor person who wants to starve to death. That's what they're doing, that's what they're convincing people to do to their loved ones, and of course, that is a terrible scenario that people face very often. It's a very common scenario. Rosh HaKoel is here, so we're just going to conclude in a couple of minutes, a couple more scenarios, and then we'll have questions and answers. DNR, as the Rosh HaKoel always advises, even sometimes one could have a DNR on the patient, which means, again, the person is chayisha, and Nebuch, things are shutting down, and the person's in tsar, not mechuyev to resuscitate a patient when that patient doesn't have any sikuyim to have a long life. Meaning, the prognosis is, by all standards, this person is not going to last. Even if you resuscitate the person, they'll live another few hours. So, you're not mechuyev to put the person through terrible tsar, which resuscitation is, as they shock the person and bang, and it breaks ribs, and it's terrible.
I think it's, there's no such thing as DNR. It's not like, if you say yes, they'll do. It's not. It's DNA attempt. It's attempt.
Okay.
It's not, you know,
a teva. Right.
90% of people who go to cardiac arrest are not resuscitatable the
matter right.
How hard
you have. Nakanami. Ten.
It's not like, you know, they say to the doctor, I want you to do everything. You have 100% success.
No, of course not. Yeah, I'm talking about attempt. Yeah, attempt to resuscitate. But even attempt to resuscitate is a terrible pain if the patient feels it, which could be. So al kapanim, even if you're not mechuyev, if you tell the patient, if you tell the medical staff, the nurses, and they write it on the chart, often they look at the person that as if they have already one step in the next world, as if the malach hamavos is standing at the doorstep already and he's coming. So there's two issues. One is a halachic issue, if there should be a DNR, and even if yes, telling them creates practical problems. Because then they look at the patient as if, we don't have to deal with this patient. This patient is already a goner. And they treat the patient differently. I've heard it myself from hospital staff. It's not all the time. And it's not all medical staff. But it can happen. And there are reports written about this as well that verify this problem.
You're recommending.
So a person should be very cautious. In every situation, you have to ask a shayla. Every situation, the details make a huge difference in the decision of whether one should or has to or could. And not all the time, even by a PET tube, there are situations when it could be an amachuyah. Because, like we said, it does take a little bit of an operation, a 20-minute operation, to put it in. So it's not in Gunson normal. Aside from administering the food in an abnormal way, it does require an operation, and sometimes it's not mechuyev. If the person is never racked in pain, it's not always that they're mechuyev, depending on the situation. I'll give you one more scenario, which was a very difficult situation. That, but the person was yenamachla, end stages, mamish at the end, and there was no chiyuv to prolong that person's life. But the problem was, the person was gasping for air. She was a woman, she wasn't able to breathe. So the shaila was, do we put on a ventilator? But that's going to be marish her life. Once she's on, you can't take it off, because that ends the life. And if you don't put it on, she's gasping for air. If you do put it on, you're being marish her pain. She was in terrible, terrible agony from the makhla. So it was a no-win situation. I spoke to the psychologist, Lita said, that's very shaila. It was a difficult situation. And we were back and forth on the phone. What to do? You do it, you're being marach her pain. You don't do it, she can't breathe. Sometimes there aren't good answers to these problems. May the Rabbeinu Shlom help us that in the schus of the Limud HaTorah we should be zeiche all to chaim aruchim, to simcha nachas, and bracha v'atzlacha bias hagoyel.
It's a tremendous chus for us to have the Rosh HaKoyel Shlita along with the Rav Shlita to answer our shilas. I'm going to start with a few shilas, and I will also take questions from the tibur, but not to call out. So I'll call on the person to ask a question, and the person will stand up and they'll ask a clear question so that everybody can hear. If the Rosh HaKoyel and the Rav do not hear it, I'll repeat the question, and that's the way we'll proceed. Many of the elderly have expressed their desire not to suffer at the end of life, and they're adamant about it. In many situations, there's no obvious machla or suffering, but we know that their ratzon is to not to resuscitate. Are we permitted, or are we even mechuyev, to defy their choice that they made in order to resuscitate them in a situation where they will otherwise die?
Don't necessarily have to resuscitate what they don't want. Since there's no breathing right now, what is restorative? They don't want it, they don't have the suffering. But the shaila should be that sometimes, you know, people are living, you know, might as well get out and live a long enough life, and they would like to pass on. That's no hazard. We live as long as Rashi gives you years. He wants you here, Rashi wants you here, I'll be here. Doesn't want me, he'll take me. But resuscitate, it's hard to stop. That's doing something more than just, you know, oxygen or food. So the person doesn't want to see suffering, so very possibly don't have to do it. But a child should be asked, because Prince, what do you mean, he doesn't want to live anything, he wants to die, not because he doesn't want to resuscitate.
I don't think everybody heard.
Okay.
What the Rosh HaKoyel said was that it's not necessarily so that if a person doesn't want, that one has to resuscitate, but a person should ask a shaila. Doesn't mean the answer is going to be they have to resuscitate, but the shaila should be asked, because every moment of life, as we discussed earlier, is precious. When a person, the time comes, the Rabbanu Shlom will take care of that. But that doesn't mean to say that they're mechuyev to resuscitate. It depends on the details of the situation.
The Rav and the Shir created a framework to understand Chayisha. The Rav said that Rav Chaim Oizer held 6 months, the prognosis is 6 months, and Rav Moshe Feinstein said even up to a year is still considered Chayisha, not Chayi Olam. Is that between 6 months and a year, how do we understand when is it Chayisha, when is it Chayi Olam? Is there a clear getter?
Ask a shaila. To the man who does say a year, because the halacha treifa doesn't live in a year. So it means a treifa is not a full chiyus, not a full life, and even so it can live up to a year. So that's called not a full life. It's, It's called half dead a treif. If someone kills a treif, he's not high misa. If you kill a geyser, it's an interesting halacha. Well, I'm sorry, I can't speak louder. You have to excuse me. But if you kill a geyser, a person's holding my dying retzeach high misa. So a doctor kills a geyser, he's retzeach. A doctor kills a geyser. A treifa, right? If you kill a treifa, that means he's missing a certain organ which is, he must have to live, right? And have a hole in his heart. So he can't live. So you're much to kill a treifa. But geyser is, you kill your chayim. So a treifa cannot live, the Mara says, more than 12 months. Up to 12 months. That's why he holds a chayim shor, that's not a complete life. A treifa does have such short-term life. There's still poor depth of high shore also, so not that much of a difference. The whole thing is, the Gemara says in the Machaneh, and he was starving to death. And he said, what should we do? Should we go to the Machane? They might kill us right away. Or stay here until we die. If we stay here, we'll live for a couple of days and die. We go to the Machane, to our outsider, they might kill us right away. Or they might give us food and live longer. So he said, we have to go to the Machane, we have a chance of extended life. There was extended life. That's the source that we forget. Chai Olam, you go into the risk of losing of the Chai Shoah in order to perhaps attain Chai Olam. That's the mark of this thing. This Allah. You were going to say, said Allah, but some of that's what he said. That's the mark, so they
If a doctor, just as an extension to that question, if the doctor says, you know, because of this particular machla, my estimation is that the chola is going to live another 10 to 12 months, does he have nemanus to say that? How do we... Well, if they... Perhaps, Rosh Chol is asking what's a nafkamina, perhaps... If they want to put the patient into a hospital or a place of care that will only accept the patient if they do sign a DNR. The Rav and the Shir discussed the halachas of goyses, that we're not allowed to move a goyses or do anything that could be makar of the mitzvah. If is a person on who's medically brain dead but on life support considered a goyses, and if so, are you allowed to go into the room and play music? Are you allowed to touch the patient on life support or not?
He's a treifa. He's on life support. He's called a treifa. Right? That is a geyser. He's a treifa. And he doesn't have the full ability of liveness. His brain dead and his brain is not functioning. He's called a treifa, not just a geyser. Right? So that's the question. There's still a issue to kill a treifa also. It's not the same thing as killing a geyser. It'll be different. Man, as far as the using the room that you can have, it's not really a masculine thing. And to move them, touch them, it's hard to know what's called the practice of geysis. Although for the mind of it, where he's in need, he feels able to do something, because even if he's alive, he's not a geys, he's a treasure. Where is that treasure? Usually, people want to have a head to say that he's not alive, and do what you want with him. He was alive, you have to sustain his life. But sometimes you want him alive. Let's say it's a child, and the mother of the shock of him, and he's stuck in Aguda until her husband has a brother, 13 years for Yil Chalitza. It's called the King of Chalitza. You have a child, that remains alive, so he passes him on to the mother, so he won't be alive, not dead. So they say, brain dead is dead, and it comes out of Chumrah. They think every Chumrah comes a clue, sometimes a clue comes out of Chumrah. So something you want to be alive. The mother should be Aguda. That was clear enough for you.
Yes.
I was just reading an article yesterday of a young woman in Charterhouse Hospital in Eretz Yisrael who was pronounced brain dead, and she's on a ventilator. And there's a lot of discussion of whether they can stop a ventilator. So what would be the hot in that situation?
I tell you, they want to be able to stop the ventilator, but they want to keep her alive, that the child alive, that the mother wouldn't be not good, and then they'll say she's alive. You know, they play games. They want to do what's easier for them. Terry's not like it's one way. It's, if it's alive, it's not by the food, by the humor. Right? It can be both ways. So usually, you get alive by a ventilator, the person is alive. It's called to alive, but too, it's not the time yet. That's what makes all that, so he's dead. But like I said, you don't have to be very commercial. You don't have to do things to sustain the life. That's something else. Each case, of course, is a case. You have to, it's like a doctor has to see the patient to know. Theoretical things, doesn't tell you when he sees the patient, then he can decide what this patient looks like.
Yes.
I have many secular relatives. Do I have an obligation when I'm visiting dying relatives to start getting involved and start asking questions to my rabbis, and they have no contact with rabbis? Is that my job now?
It's not a job. You can ask them. If you want any advice, they don't want advice, don't give them advice.
Ask the immediate family, do you want me to check with the rabbi to see what
they're probably not.
Ask.
You think they might want to do it, if they don't care. They want to take off the machinery and help to fight with them. That's the person that is dying not true. You have the case sometimes the person are from person and the children are not from, they want to get rid of him. And you have a chiyum and a chiyosai. It can be a difference the person's from or not from.
Is there a definition of goises as opposed to trefa? Like Rome is illustrating what goises was.
A trefa has been missing one of the part of the Bible, which is the trefa. That's a trefa. Missing. That's something. Goises, every person dies through the goises. So he's not a trefa. It's weaker and weaker. And when is there a vice and when is not a vice? It's usually the person, the vice, is not aware of what's happening. A vice. Otherwise, again, so usually, it can be made, but it's going to come on offers. Because when he can move, he has movement, usually he's not a vice. Just dying. He can't move anything to hold him by dying. That's a vice. But if he has moving a dog, then he's not a vice. So if the vice is a coin, can't be in the room. Vice. It's a mess. Dark vice. Can't be in the room. Just pray for the coin to be in the room.
Question was given to me, how much reliability does a doctor have with respect to his medical diagnosis if we know that he or she is of the opinion that extension of life when the patient is in pain or discomfort is cruel, and he believes that ending life is merciful, so how much nemunis does he have?
Well,
That's why you have to ask if the facts are based upon, and you check with another doctor. It's based on certain facts, right? Certain history, certain facts. So it's like you're making a decision based on certain facts. Tell me the facts you're basing it on. So the facts can then most of you like who you can now and not to distort the facts. Judgment is something else.
Stand up.
Can you define gosis in medical terms in English?
I'll try that. In the death throes. That's so clear. It's not like the death throes. I can't accept the descriptive terms. In the death throes, I go, when to start the death throes.
That effect,
I can't
tell you
the exact thing.
Mm-hmm. Very important. Mm-hmm. Well, the nurse is saying, and from experience you see, that the breathing changes. There's a pattern of breathing that becomes very heavy, and there's a distinct difference in the breathing of the patient. If they're on a ventilator, you can't tell. But otherwise, there is something very distinct. And often, they die within a matter of hours or a day or two.
The key word that you just said is often. Many times I've seen people with what's called in medical terms death rattle, when the doctors and the nurses and medical staff feel that death is imminent and the person is actively dying, and yet with the advent of all kinds of medical intervention today, as the Baruch says, as the Rosh Kollel said, that you can't define a ghost, because what was a ghost says years ago, because medicine today is not a ghost, it doesn't apply. So, I mean, the doctors, in many ways, are gamblers. They play the odds on the basis of the number of cases that they've seen, these types of circumstances, these types of symptoms. Their expected prognosis is X, Y, or Z. But I saw someone I thought was a ghost just a few weeks ago. A shiny was asked, do you put a pen paper in or not? This patient was at death's door. And because there was an imbalance, he didn't have proper nutrition, he didn't have proper hydration. Once that was restored, the man woke up. It was a pebble. I had a conversation with him. He was fully conversant. He was active, he was alert, he was conversant.
Did you ask him if he's a ghost?
As Rav Miller said a moment ago, he didn't know. He might have been. See, that's another case. These issues are fluid. One doctor might say this person has Hayashah 6 months, and there's the same doctor, another doctor might say this person has a year. But, my neighbor said before, how do you know the difference? Bottom line is, you have to ask the Shaila, because the situation is so fluid. A moment ago, it might have been 6 months, and tomorrow, it might be 12 months. Who knows?
Next, Shaila.
So, defining ghosts, if it's done artificially, if the doctors put them paralyzed or whatever, because they need to be in that situation, if they're induced into a coma, Rosh Kollel is saying that a ghost is when they can't respond. But often in all these cases, they can't respond. The other question is about the peg tube. Often the doctors quote the risk, speaking to Rosh Kollel, what you were saying with the peg tube. Peg tube shiloh is sometimes they're concerned that when they put in the peg tube that they can continue to aspirate the same as they would the other way. So they don't want to contribute to the aspiration. In fact, maybe it's better not to put in the peg tube because that could lead to more aspiration. So these are the arguments that I've heard where I've tried to persuade people otherwise, but this is the prevailing.
We had a patient 2 weeks ago, six weeks ago.
Yeah.
This was next there. 97-year-old man. The doctor said exactly that.
Right.
If we put in the peg tube, he's going to aspirate anyway. They put in the peg tube, he didn't aspirate. Not at all. So, it's not muhab, like the Rosh HaKollel was saying, just because they tell that to you. They have an agenda. This doctor had an agenda. It was clear that there was the agenda. What's another? You asked another question?
Yeah.
The first question.
The ghost says what they induce paralysis. Inducing.
I didn't say they can't talk to the ghost. I said, a ghost can't talk. Not everyone can't talk as a ghost.
I've been in the Netherlands for a few years, and they are a little further ahead of us in the whole idea of choice of life at the end of life.
Behind us.
And there are two or three other things that are kind of curious about their system that I came across. There is there is obligatory health insurance. So you have to have health insurance, and you either have the funds to pay for it yourself, or it'll be paid through what's called an outturn, which is like a subsidy by the government. And at the higher levels, when you start to look at decision making, and this was coming to your question about of whether or not you have heroic or versus non-heroic measures.
Can you try to capture the question?
I'm giving enough preamble so you understand the question. There is an implicit amount of money. I think at one time it was something like 80,000 euros in terms of the intervention, the cost of an intervention. And if you got to a certain age and the intervention was more than that amount, cost more than that amount, then it would be considered a heroic measure. Whereas if you look at the intervention itself, it may not necessarily be heroic. And so I was curious about the issue of heroic versus non-heroic, because it's not clear to me that the use of a ventilator is actually necessarily a heroic measure. I mean, how permanent that circumstance is. So I wonder if you could explore that. That was one question. And then there's a second one, and that has to do with that they also permit choice of life, to terminate life by the person, even where there's question about where the person has a history of mental health issues. So they had this, actually, they had one on TV where they had a case where a woman had chosen to end her life. And in fact, her family wanted her to stay, and that she was spared so much of life that she was chosen. And the horrible dilemma that presents. And so I'm curious, my impression is, Halakha, that that's completely off the table. Is that correct?
Right. No. Right of life does not depend on the cost.
Okay.
Now, he said over there they're paying a certain amount. So the person has no money, has to get his own private way of extending his life. Right? They have their own funds. They can pay their own funds. But the cost does not determine you have a right life. If you can't afford it, you're going to die, so what can you do? Now, ordinarily, we feel that extend life, instead of all the don't make any heroic measures. The person in pain doesn't want to do any heroic measures, he has a right. There's a story anymore, and I mean, my tribe, he said everything were. He said they were. And was being assassinated, being killed for running terror, teaching terror. And they want him to suffer. They were burning him to death. And they want him to suffer, so they place wet wool sheets around him, so he, to extend his life, that he should live longer and suffer more. He shouldn't die so fast. So they told him, people told him, try and make you die early, suffer early, do things, put your head down to the fire for it to die faster, you won't have suffering, so I can't cause myself to die earlier. But he told the executioner, if you want to take it, the wet wool off, so I should die faster, I'll bring him to Olam Hab. The executioner was allowed to take it off.
Boom,
I got it off. He was talking.
I
thought
killed
him. I
could
have
shot
him. He okay.
Point. Killed the same person.
Right. So then, right, you can hurry up the killing for this.
Same minor.
I'm going to recapture it. Okay, the shaila was if the if putting somebody on a ventilator is considered a heroic measure. That's the shaila. It's not considered a heroic measure.
Just giving oxygen.
No,
ventilator.
Not
just a ventilator. No, a
ventilator.
Intubation. It is considered.
Giving oxygen is not.
Yeah. The second question was, as somebody who is in is not in full mental health, or any person who is healthy, do they have a choice to end their life? I think the answer was answered. Okay, we're going to move on because I want to. You can ask after.
After.
So we'll ask after.
Okay.
Yes.
Would you touch one important thing? This is Roshon Mechuba.
Is brain death considered death? That's your question.
Then, right, severed the head from the whole body, with decomposed body.
No, then the mechubar through the nerves.
Yeah, that's it. So mechubar is still, as long as he's still breathing, he's still going alive.
Go ahead.
So from the variety of philosophies that the Rav clearly laid out earlier, we see that there's a real primacy on even one moment of life. So I'm just, if you could help us understand why Tsar makes a difference by ghosties, but by Shah.
Well, you see from the Gemara, they told the executioner that you take off the wet wool and hold out a fist, less. So we obligated to certain degrees how much your obligation to extend years of life. So if you're not doing anything to something to cause death earlier, that's always possible. Like, death early to do something. But to let it be done, let it happen to you, and you're suffering, you're not required to do things to stop it from coming. You're not required to do things. Like Mark says, the halacha of Shulchan Aruch also that death, his life is being extended artificially. Mark's mashma also, just extending artificially, can let him die.
Okay, we'll ask one final question, and then we'll thank the Rabbanim for the participation. There's a different Gemara about the Amsei Derebi, the maidservant who didn't want the Talmidim to daven for the Refuah Shleima of Rebbe. In fact, she wanted maybe the opposite, they should daven that he should die. Practically speaking, when do we stop davening for somebody to have a refuah shleima, and when might it be mutter or even the right thing to do to daven for misa?
First of all, I feel that people have a correct feeling of davening. Right? That means like this: when a person's dead, we don't got to follow; he should come alive. Everyone understands that, even though. So why can't we saw that that person come alive? Right? That person come alive to have a case in the Gemara? Right. As Rachina says, Moshe was called Ishwalakim. Because the Goyin is Masber, Ishwalakim, just the Ish means the Bailim of the Midas HaTeva. There's certain people, certain grace of Tzaddikim, they can do things with change Teva. Virtual Teva. We'll do something with Mechaya Meisosa. For us, we're not Ishwakim. We cannot ask. And it's like going to a palace and asking the Melech Chatzimachos. right? You're proper. You want a few pennies? Okay, I'll give you a few pennies. But you know, I want to be hot time out with someone. So yeah, right? So we as women, we want Shini Hatav, we can't be without Shini Hatav. It's like asking for Hatzim Apus. First the king, you gave him Apus, you control Teva, we want to be control Teva. That they have no right to answer. The chutzpah to answer such a thing that we should claim as Yeshua could say the sun should stop. Yeah, Yeshua. If we say the sun should stop and was followed, the Torah is the Meshugam house. I Yeshua did it? Yeah, Yeshua can do it, we can't do it. So certain things that Shina Teva, we're not responsible for Shina Teva. The building collapsed on a person. I don't know if he's dead or if he's alive. What am I responsible for? If he's dead, you can't be responsible to be alive. He's dead. So what am I responsible for? I'm responsible for Rabbi Shalom, you know what's best for him. If he's alive, keep him alive and that's be able to say. If he's dead already, he won't help my children. I know that. But if it's possible, my children should help him. So if in Teva it's possible that the person should have a refuah, don't need that refuah, give me a partial refuah, for the length of time. Should have a refuah if it's possible. If it's not possible, so then, my children, I can't ask for Shini HaTeva. We're not responsible for Shini HaTeva. We don't know if it's Shini HaTeva or not, it's like a building collapsing. We don't know if people are alive or not. We're in this fault. If he's dead, I still will not help. He's dead. We're not calling a dead person to go alive. He's dead. If he's alive, burn him. If he's alive, let him remain alive. Let's get to him. Let's take it out. So I have also a person has certain in his body, a certain situation. If he can live, then live. If he can't live, you take him. Right? What's best for him? We're not yet. We're not suffering Shin HaTev. And here's another thing, sometimes you have to misfollow if he's in pain. The says you misfollow, let the boy shall take away his pain. Only take away his pain, should I? It's only when he has a pain which can't alleviate the pain. So then there's such a head.
Okay. B'shem Arenu Arav Shlita, B'shem the Rosh HaKoil Shlita, B'shem Halacha Institute and the Kol Kehila. We'd like to thank everybody for participating and thank the Rosh HaKoil and the Rav for teaching us Torah. Should you all be zeicha to a good gevinsht, good health and good yarin and arichas yamin v'sham.
Excuse me, Rabbi. But I think my question was that I was trying to convey.